was a middle school teacher for 40 years, and when I see people up close to the postings or people with their dogs, I don't use my teacher voice. I use my grandma voice. It's a whole different way of approaching and educating.
Kathy Hanna is a bird ambassador for Audubon, North Carolina. She's one of about 80 volunteers who take turns patrolling the south end of Wrightsville Beach to keep people at a safe distance from the nesting birds. And she's one of three keeping watch this morning. It's early, just after 7 a.m., and she's already completed her first rescue of the day.
Where the ranger's trucks go through are these big ruts, and there was a little chick stuck in the rut. He couldn't get out. So I went up and I scooped up the little chick and took him over and let him go and watched him run off to go over and find his family. You feel like you saved a life.
An unwitting human could have stepped on the least turned chick thanks to its very effective camouflage. Once your eyes adjust, the week-old baby resembles a freckly cotton ball on a pair of miniature stilts.
And that's what really helps them hide from predators like the crows.
College student Catherine Frazier and her mom Michelle are spending their summer as nest stewards also. The three women, along with Audubon, North Carolina's coastal biologist Lindsay Addison, face the nesting grounds at the tip of the barrier island, where the ocean front winds gently around to a quieter inlet.
Looking at this colony, what you see in front of you is a flat, sandy area, very few little pieces of vegetation, and then back behind it, a dune line. And what these birds want to nest in is this open, sandy habitat. They want very little vegetation, and they want to be able to see a predator's approach.
Temperatures are already climbing this morning. That's one of the challenges facing the birds. The surface temperature of the sand, says Addison, can exceed 150 degrees.
And with this recent heat wave, we've had temperatures in the high 90s, heat indexes in the hundreds. They'll actually go to the ocean and get their belly feathers wet. They'll come back and drip water on the eggs of the chicks in an effort to keep their temperature low enough, either that the eggs don't cook or that the chicks don't overheat. And if they're flushed up off their eggs or their chicks, they can't do that. And if they're flushed up for too long, even just 15 or 20 minutes, those eggs or chicks can just cook on the sand.
Then it happens. The colony of least terns is suddenly disturbed.
Sometimes they do this, it's called a dread flight, where you can't tell what they're flying up about. They may have seen a crow or some other predator off in the distance. Something may have spooked them.
Possibly a person on the beach who got a little too close, which is when a bird ambassador like Michelle Frazier would go into action. But sometimes onlookers approach the stewards first.
One evening we were here just watching the colony, and a young couple came up. We're often asked, could you take a picture of us with the colony? And, you know, when they asked that question, he whispered in my ear, I'm about to propose, so get good pictures.
It's the busiest time for the nesting birds, according to biologist Addison, but it won't be long before all five species have taken flight to find warmer winter climes. Least terns and black skimmers will winter in the Caribbean and northern South America.
The oyster catchers will go down as far as Florida, although we do have a population that stays year-round in North Carolina. The common terns will go as far south as southern Brazil.
And, like clockwork, the birds and their human protectors will return next April. Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, WHQR News.